Mark 6 is our chapter. I hope today's a watered garden and not a dry piece of dirt for you. Mark chapter 6, 2 verses 31 and 32. Jesus and the boys have been busy, real busy. And they needed something. I'm going to talk about something today that is so positive, so fun, so special, so beneficial, so encouraging. Because, you know, Jesus said that His words, His commandments are not grievous. So I want to talk today about a theology of rest. Keeping what I would call keeping Sabbath consistently. So Mark 6, 31, 32. Of course, in verse 30, we get the context. The apostles returned, told him all that they had been what? They had done, that's work, and had taught, that too is work. So working, they're on a trip. What's he doing? We don't know. Maybe he's Sabbathing. Maybe he's taking Sabbath. We don't know. But they come back from their work. And look what he said to them. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. I bet Peter might have, I'm so glad, I'm so tired. The point is, Jesus calls them now for a time, purposely, to a time of rest. I'm sure if you're not living out what I'm speaking about today, if you will hear it, receive it, and apply it, it can change your life. And those of you who do this know what it does for your life. To Sabbath. Now by keeping, and I'm using these words intentionally, by keeping Sabbath or by Sabbathing, I turn it into a, what is that, a verb? Webster could tell you, but I just did it. By keeping Sabbath, by resting, I don't mean observing a day only, but most of us observe this day as a day of rest, worship, rest. But I mean something more, practicing systematic times of leisure. Now for some of you, hiking till you're really tired is leisure. Not me. Sitting at the beach in a chair with coffee and a hat, sunglasses and my Bible for 3 hours some morning at the beach with Linda, that is leisure. Practicing times away from normal routine. The Bible teaches a theology of rest, is what I'm trying to get at, of intentional times of taking Sabbath. And the word is from the Hebrew word sabbat. I was at the foot of Mount Sinai in June of 1976, right at the base. They say that's the traditional site, with a number of Israelis and worshiping Jews and some Texas guys and some pagan Eastern Coast Americans. We were there on Friday night and we went to their Friday night Shabbat service. It was pretty neat. So Sabbat means, this word means to stop, to cease in order to keep something. You stop to keep something. You stop to choose to begin to observe something. So the theology of Sabbath is in the intentional observance of ceasing one's routine of work and taking to take Sabbath rest, to take real rest, a break. One day in seven, but not just that. So Mark 6 gives us the example of the bigger truth of the principle of ceasing work for needed rest. A work-rest rhythm. The holy habit of taking off. The sanctity of planned leisure. Now the Elsies and Courtneys, not to embarrass them, but at times I like to humble them. They did this last week in Oklahoma. They Sabbath. Want to get away? Yeah. They Sabbath. Practicing a lifestyle of a biblical work-rest rhythm. You know what the word rhythm means. It's not if you like rhythm and blues music. No. It means primarily a repeated pattern of movement. Picture your life. A repeated pattern of movement. And I think the greatest example of this I've ever observed are the Neelys. Not to embarrass them, but again, I will. For decades, they have had a rhythm, a repeated pattern of going to Arkansas 3 or 4 times a year, plan like clockwork, taking Sabbath for rest from the grind of living. Do you do this intentionally? Jesus did this both alone and with his disciples. We just read it. A lifestyle of living a biblical work and rest rhythm. Some Christians do this well. Usually those who finally figured out they weren't and needed to start doing it. And some who don't do it well. But there's some Christians who are such a slave, they never do it. Slave to their lifestyle, slave to their calendar, slave to their phone, slave to their schedule, slave to their work, slave to busyness. And they don't do it at all. Mark 6, though, gives us a movie trailer snapshot here of Jesus and the disciples here in our text doing this. So if you don't practice this, it can change your life, if you will. Now, I'm not talking about just taking a vacation yearly. You know, because the wrong kind of vacation can exhaust you and then you go home to recover. So not just talking about vacation. The Bible teaches something bigger and better than observing one day than vacations in speaking about developing a biblical mindset, a worldview, theologically, of living life week in and week out, year in and year out, the way God designed us to. Observing, taking times of Sabbath for planned breaks in life. We all need it. But do we view it biblically? Do you view this biblically? How well do we understand it? How much do we believe it and practice it? You know, when we went to Josh Young's wedding, Philip and Megan went out, and Lynn and I both, and Jason and Daniel Freeland, all of us related to that busy weekend took some Sabbath away. Each of us did something enjoyable, scenery. Those guys were hiking. I was sitting by the ocean. So we took Sabbath because we had an opportunity to, and we wanted to. Rest in Scripture is a big deal. In fact, it's mentioned in the first 33 verses of Genesis. It was big to Jesus. He practiced it, and he led his disciples too also. So in our text, we're going to see three very clear, simple truths in these two verses. Number one, the principle of Sabbath, the truth of it, the principle. Number two, the place. Got to have a place, right? And number three, the purpose. The principle, the place, and the purpose of Sabbath rest. Truth number one, the principle of Sabbath, verse 31. What did Jesus say for them to do? Come away by yourselves. He meant them as a group, so you can take it on your own, family, come away by yourselves. You see the principle in truth just in the words themselves. Come away by yourself. This is a command and invitation. He's calling them to cease their busy work, to have what? We'll get to that in a moment. To stop the normals, to stop the routine, the demanding schedule, the nonstop labor, the daily grind, the draining busyness. You stop at some point. Hopefully sooner than later. Hopefully it's on your calendar and not when you're in the ER, in the hospital, and you say to your wife, I think we need a break. You stop. Jesus knew when to say, time out, no more for now. He knew when it was time to go Sabbath. The crowds weren't gone when he said this. All the needs weren't met yet. They never are. You know, the pops are on a Sabbath break from ministry. He is. The needs don't stop. The labor doesn't stop. The work doesn't stop. But you stop from it. Nothing had slowed down, but Jesus had this principled obedience. Principled obedience. Al Martin has a booklet, it used to be on the book table, about the Christian life. A life of principled obedience. Jesus had that. Principled obedience to His Father's will and His Father's word. Work demands and human needs did not dictate Jesus' lifestyle. Does it yours? The externals didn't govern Him. He governed the externals. And they were always there. Because the Lord and His disciples had an incredible heavy schedule of demands all the time for 3 years. In the first 5 chapters of Mark, He's walking across Galilee, preaching, teaching for the first time in many synagogues, casting out demons weekly and often daily. Whole villages one night gathered to Him one day. Everybody that was sick or demonized were brought to Him one evening. And in one evening, after the disciples had clocked out, the Bible says He healed all who came to Him, and He cast out many demons in the evening. Might have been an 18-hour day. And yet, here they are. He says in our text, guys, let's go away to a private place for a while. It's time to stop. Come with me. Why did He do this? Because it was time to obey the truth of taking Sabbath. Because it was according to the Scriptures and God's will. And because it was right biblically to do it. Were we made for the Sabbath? At least let me see some head movement. We'll get to that later. Jesus lived a life of principled obedience. Even when the demands were at its highest, He would withdraw to rest or pray, or to rest and pray. Jesus was often taking Sabbath. Mark 1, early in the morning, He got up and went off to a private place. Mark 3, Jesus withdrew. Matthew 14, He went up on a mountain by Himself. Luke 4, at daybreak, He went out alone to a secluded place. Luke 5, Jesus often withdrew to secluded places. John 6, Jesus withdrew again. No one was ever more needed and in demand. With the ability to heal everybody, if you had the absolute freedom and ability to heal everybody, wouldn't you go through every hospital in Denton County and do it? And wouldn't you never stop? Jesus stopped. Why? Because he was a man of principled obedience. So, like Jesus believed and obeyed this principle of resting, we must as well, if we are to obey him. Al Martin, the great preacher and theologian, I had lunch with him one day in the 1980s at a conference. He was very friendly. He treated me like a young brother. And we had talks, you know, and I loved him ever since. In that booklet, A Life of Principled Obedience, he says this, quote, "The Christian life must be governed by the reality of principled obedience to the revealed will of God and His Word. So your lifestyle of needing rest periodically must be governed by obedience to the revealed Word of God, not by your felt need, not by what you like or don't like." Some people say, "I never like to, you know, take off. I don't believe in it." Well, they're going to suffer. So this applied here means that we take rest breaks, we Sabbath regularly, whether we feel like it or not, whether we feel tired or not. We do it because our Creator, who designed us, has said to do it, and He knows best how we need to live, doesn't He? The principle of Sabbath, come. Come with me. Truth number two, the place. Come with me to a secluded place, to an isolated place. Come with me to a desolate place. The New American Standard says secluded. The ESV says desolate. It means alone, somewhere alone, to a place. Now Jesus, in chapter 3, it says, they went to the lake. We like going to the lake. We like going to the ocean. But there's a place. You have to get away somewhere, don't you? Away. A quiet place. No noise, no people, no distractions, no routine of your rut of noise. Away to a secluded place. Sometimes when we have family over, people over, or noise, grandchildren in and out, that night when I go to bed, I'll turn on violin music. Quiet. And I fall asleep. Intentional choices. With Jesus, the crowds were always coming by the thousands, yelling, calling out, asking questions for help. Crowd control was impossible. The disciples tried it sometimes and failed, but they tried to control the people around him. Day after day, often all day into the evening, many stressful situations, always pouring out, always in demands, always giving, always under pressure, always people around. And now, time to unplug and retreat away from, unto a place. Do you have a place as a family? Some of you do. Do you have a place as an individual to take 8 hours one day? Plan it on your calendar in 3 months. 8 hours away to a park. Do you have a place? First of all, do you believe the principle enough to practice it, and do you have a place to do it? You know, the hymn, I love the hymn, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Well, let's take it out of context and apply it this morning. There is a place for quiet rest. Do you have one? So when it's time to go. a weekend at the lake, a week in the mountains, at the ocean. The place doesn't matter as much as having a place and doing it, right? The principle come apart. The place to an isolated place. Away to different scenery, a different experience and setting. Finding a place that is right for you. I'm going to have to plan an extra day on any trips Linda and I have, because we'll spend 24 hours just taking pictures at places. And it's come to be a wonderful discipline. I take 3 or 4. But need an extra day. It's so special. So find a place that is right for you and make it your go-to. But the point is, brethren, don't neglect it. Jesus has said this for his followers who are in the grind. Because, thirdly, it has a very important purpose. The principle, the place, is for a purpose. What's the purpose? To rest. He says it right there. And rest a while. I'll call Philip sometimes. What's going on? Oh, we're in Hardy. I said, you're in Hardy. When did you go to Hardy, Arkansas? Well, yesterday. Oh, good. I know it's going to be restful. Hardy is. The purpose. And get some rest. What an invitation for quite a purpose. The Lord knows we're frail creatures. You young guys that work out, your day's coming. But you need the Sabbath now anyway, so your day won't come as hard later. The Lord knows we're frail creatures. Paul told the Corinthians, the Lord is for the body. He's not talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about this body of flesh, this dying tent. The Lord is for the body, and the body is for the Lord, right? That's what he meant. So the purpose for Sabbath is when we're weary, we need recharging. When we're tired, we need strength. When we're under stress, time for relaxation. Tired of socializing, meaning you come to the place, I'm sick of work colleagues and people. Tired of socializing, you need solitude. Too busy, slow down. Busyness drains you, leisure is on the menu. That's why the Rao families last year went to the Grand Canyon. Right now, this week, as I speak, they're at Shenandoah National Park and Williamsburg and Alexandria, Virginia. The purpose? Renewal. Rejuvenation. That is waiting for those who will get away to any place. I love those Southwest Airlines commercials. I see them once in a while. I saw a great one this week. This businessman's on the street sitting there, and this black sedan pulls up, and he runs and jumps in the back seat, sitting in the middle, doesn't even look up, and he says to the driver, I know you got the address, didn't you? And then suddenly his phone rings, and it's his Uber driver. Well, I'm looking for you. The guy looks up, and this mean guy's staring at him from the front seat. Suddenly, the back door's open, a duffel bag's tossed on him, and two masked guys get in, and the driver says, I told you no hostages. He wanted to get away. Brethren, to what is good and wholesome and restful and renewing, and easy, and lazy, maybe. Your mind needs to stop. Your eyes need to see the new beauty around you. Your heart needs to beat again well. The work-rest rhythm needs to be happening. That's what is waiting for those who will get away to any place by calendaring it, by putting it on your calendar. Whether it's you say, you know, 2 weeks from now, I think I will get away to a park, a lake, and sit there for 2 hours with the Lord. Some of us do this really well, regularly, proactively, intentionally. Some of us rarely and not enough. Some maybe never. I won't ask you to raise your hands. Now, young people, how would you do this? You get tired. Well, pick a corner in the backyard under a tree and tell dad or mom, I'm going to go out there for a couple hours. Don't put your feet down in a fire ant bed. Just check the area closely. So maybe it's a tree in your backyard for you. Maybe if you're older, it's at a park. You don't have to spend money, do you? Some of us never do this. I love the verse. Jesus called them unto himself that they might, what? Be with him. When do you ever do that? Christ is your true Sabbath. You need the principle and you need a place for the physical Sabbath, but he's your Sabbath. You go to be with him as you rest. Oh, to master the art of Sabbath more and more. Because if we don't, we have to begin to learn to discipline ourselves with the joy of obedience to Christ and with the goal of long-term fruitfulness in the stewardship of your life. It's therapeutic. It heals and soothes us. Solitude is the Good Samaritan's oil and wine, which God pours into us when we're in the place of Sabbath. A very wise person said, quote, anyone who cannot obey Christ's command to take Sabbath is a slave to their own lifestyle, busyness, in the rushed culture. And in the long term, they will be damaged goods. Close quote. Are you a slave to your work, your lifestyle, your culture? The Lord says, come apart with me and rest a while. Because the Sabbath was created to serve us and not us to serve it. Jesus said it early in his ministry, and believers often really missed the heart of it. They were walking through the grain fields one day on the Sabbath, picking the heads of grain, getting a snack, heading somewhere. The disciples are watching. They're always watching. They're always there, either spying or following, but somehow they always show up because they're looking for something to criticize. So they say, why are they doing that which is unlawful on the Sabbath? Now, Jesus' reply was not only a rebuke, but also told them they didn't have a clue about the real meaning of Sabbath, though they thought they were experts on it. Have you never read the Bible, guys, about that guy named David, who went in the holy place when they were hungry and they ate the bread? It wasn't lawful. David's our example, guys. So he shuts them up. But then he says something even deeper about the real purpose, and he exegetes it for them on the spot about the real meaning of Sabbath. And he says to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. I'm sure they ground their teeth on that one. You're not meant to have to slavishly serve a religious day. Some people make the Lord's Day such a slavery of external legal obedience, they miss the heart of the real meaning. That the Sabbath is made for you. So, brethren, believe the principle. Start practicing it. Find a place, get your calendar down, and plan to go rest. How will I begin now more to obey Jesus' words in Mark 6? I love what he said in John 13. If you know these things, happy are you, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. How does this apply to your family today? How does this apply to your own life? Want to get away? The Lord says to, and He's there. He's not only the one who said it, He's there when you go to the place. He'll be there waiting. So brethren, learn to live a lifestyle of intentional Sabbath and rest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that Your Word applies to us at every level of our life. Even in the summer season of vacations and trips and getaways, Lord, it applies here, this season of life. So help us to be governed more today by a life of principled obedience. Obedience to Your Word. For our lifelong spiritual and physical well-being. Apply this to us, Lord. We ask in the name of our Savior. Amen.